2025 with the Cult TV Club. We are now going to talk about the movies and TV shows we have all watched that we think will become cult classic. I now relinquish my role to Justin, the man with the plan, the sire of the Messiah. I'm tired.
She hasn't pressed record yet.
It is recording.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry to say that was all recorded.
Yeah. And just in case that's completely unusable, Justin, you want to do it all again?
Pass him the cardboard box.
Welcome to the classic. Welcome to the classic Cult TV Club, where we watch Cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're looking at what people have watched over the year. And whether they believe they're going to be cult classics.
What's the year?
2025.
Oh, 2025! Oh, oh my god!
We're in the future now, guys.
Yeah. Such a year of TV shows!
It is. 2025.
Actually, hasn't been.
No.
And we're here with Baylor.
Yo.
Angus.
Hello.
Mackenzie.
Why is this year ending?
Lisa.
Hello.
Welcome
Jeanette.
Back.
Hi.
Cassandra.
Hey, I haven't got anything inventive to say hello with.
And Justin.
Hello.
Hello. As you can see, we've been here a fair while already.
Yeah.
And we've recorded the 10-minute podcast before.
Yeah.
Okay, so classic cult TV. What have you watched over the last year that you think might make it in 20 years' time?
Justin, do you want to take it away this year?
Yeah, sure. I've watched a fair bit, a lot of it with Jeanette, of course. I'll let Jeanette cover the sort of overlap. That's shows like Dune Prophecy, Star Wars Skeleton Crew, Star Wars Visions, Andor Season 2, the movie Flow and the movie Frankenstein were ones that we've watched. But I'll let Jeanette sort of cover them a bit because mine are probably a bit unique out of the group. So Alien Earth, for example, is one of the ones I've watched recently. Alien Earth is one of those things that where they try and follow a franchise and it doesn't quite.
They're trying to do the Disney Star Wars thing.
They're trying to do the Disney Star Wars thing with a franchise. It's a good show, but it's more about synthetic humans than the aliens.
I've heard the last few Aliens kind of reboots have not quite got there.
They've not quite got there.
I have a theory about this. I think the worst decision ever made that screwed the Alien franchise, because they've got quite a good setting and a good world with like Weyland Yutani.
Good
setting, but they've screwed it by putting aliens in the title.
So there has to be aliens and not the world building.
There has to be aliens and none of the world building. And the aliens are almost like this separate entity to the actual world that just pops up every now and again and causes chaos.
That's kind of where they went with the Alien Earth TV series because they sort of sidelined the alien a fair bit and it almost became just an instrument of that they can use to control things. But I'm a real fan of the universe. And, of course, there was Alien 3 where William Gibson was going to write a title that didn't include the main actress, Sigourney Weaver, and she was funding it all, and she said no to that. So the end result was that instead they just made a prison.
Yes, they made Alien 3, which everyone universally hated.
And meanwhile, Dark Horse Comics had produced this huge universe.
Yes.
It was very complete. It had a great storyline, and everybody ignored it.
Yes, but that's a good format because you can tell those longer stories and not have aliens feature in every comic.
Yeah,
but movies and TV show, you need the alien.
Yeah,
and everyone's kind of expecting.
Or you need something in there.
Yeah.
And then they tried and twisted and changed the alien and just using genetic engineering to make it something completely different. And that didn't work either. Anyway, it's like having the Daleks and going, oh, we'll make new style Daleks and see how that works out for Doctor Who.
Didn't they try to do that with, like, Caprica? Adrian watched Caprica, I never did. Battlestar Galactica did so well, like, and then they brought out Caprica as a prequel, and it's like all of the things we actually liked about Battlestar Galactica, you've removed.
You've removed, yes, that's right.
And I think that was like they were trying to do this world building, but it didn't.
They'd lost the plot a bit by the end of Battlestar Galactica quite heavily.
The other one I've got is Wednesday's. I watched season two. It was pretty good. and it follows the first season very well, and it looks like there's an ongoing storyline that's going to be away from the school or something. But,
what are your thoughts compared to season one? Still good but different, better, not
Oh, no,
good?
It's similar and well done.
It's additive. So
it's additive. It builds up on it. Yeah.
Strengthens its own foundation.
I definitely feel like Wednesday is very different from the Addams Family. So it does carry its own sort of vibe, I guess. But it sticks to that.
Sticks to its own.
Yeah. It's very good at what it did this
year. It's excellent. I've run out of time probably, but I'll say Strange New Worlds, and perhaps you guys can talk about that, but it's generally good. It's sort of like a throwback to the original Star Trek, and it works well in that way. But it's got an overall storyline, and that works well.
There was a great moment when Justin was watching that, because he watched one particular episode, he was so angry. He hated the episode, because it was a classic, old school cringe episode that you're watching, and you're like, oh no, they're not the cowboys in space.
It was a holodeck episode.
That is wacky. By far
I like the holodeck episode. That was the murder mystery episode.
This one was kings and queens and fantasy.
That was a previous season. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I know you two were a big fan of that
one. But it was so.
It was so classic. I appreciate that much, but I hated it.
I was so proud of them for doing it, because it was a terrible thing to do, and they did it anyway because it was true to what it was.
I think that's one really good thing about Strange New Worlds, is because it's set before the original series, they take some of that stuff and go, no, we're going to not exploit it, but it's like we're going to enjoy the cringiness and we're going to modernise the cringiness
We're going to play around with it.
And they do it in a really great way and actually help you to appreciate it.
Honestly, on Strange New Worlds, it is just 10 out of 10. It is so well written.
This new series
was absolutely fantastic.
It really improves, does it, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think it was better than Picard. Oh my God, I don't know if any of you guys saw the travesty that was Section 31.
No.
Don't. It was better than Discovery. Mm-hmm. We finished Discovery and it was...
I'm so sorry. I'm going to get these two out of the way right now, which is Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds. I will not say anything else on it, mainly because next year I'm going to try and bring these two to the table because it is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
Yes, of course.
We were tempted to do an all Star Trek year and Jeanette put the kibosh in it because I'm not a fan. Do you think we can convert you?
No. I have watched enough Star Trek to know it's just not my thing.
We sat down and watched a bit of Old Who.
Yeah, mainly Third Doctor, my favourite Doctor, as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to say that's the James Bond Doctor.
I think that was my dad's era. When he was a little kid, it was Hartnell.
Yeah.
But that was his era.
There's a moment in the episode we watched where the Doctor grabs a disintegrator gun, jumps around a corner and starts shooting the aliens that are attacking him with a gun.
Oh, my God.
What the hell is going on? He's using a gun. What?
Yeah.
As he just disintegrates one of the enemy aliens. It's like, what's going on?
His shows are really fun, and his story is really good. So,
and the interaction between the characters was really good.
Also, like it's got Sergeant Benton in it, and I love Sergeant Benton.
Is that the Doctor that has the Brigadier in it as well?
Yeah.
There's a number of soldier characters.
He's usually trapped on Earth.
That's
the one when he's trapped.
I've got an entire romance arc up in my noggin right now. Because of that. Anyway, I have also watched The Day in the Life of a Middle-Aged Online Shopper in Another World. It's an anime. It is so good.
I think it's a fantastic title. Yeah, just thinking the title definitely feels like it would be an anime if it was anything.
Anime titles have gotten so bad.
This is just for the English?
Yeah, no, right? I know.
The actual anime has its own title.
Yeah. Why would you... They make these names super long, and it's not people in Japan doing it. It's the translation. And I don't know why, because they're just awful.
Spy X Family Season 3. I won't spoil anything. It is so good. You get Lloyd backstory. It is so good.
I've seen one episode from her on YouTube, and it's like, but the bomb on the bus.
Oh, no, stop. Drop it.
That's like the only one I know.
This kid got a lot of Spy X Family merch for Christmas. Yeah. Including... she got 3 of the pop vinyls as well. And
Okay, so they're my main ones that I really wanted to draw attention to. I know this is on your list, and we can hype about it on your list a bit better, I think. But
which one?
K-pop Demon Hunters. That should be on your list.
She got you onto K-pop Demon Hunters. Can you tell that story?
Oh, okay. So Kenzie and I, we went to AvCon this year. It was absolutely fantastic. I saw a whole heap of K-pop Demon Hunter costumes. I'm like, damn, I love the kintsugi. I love everything about this.
There was an AI voice / Miku singing Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, that wasn't an AI. That was a VTuber. So they had a VTuber this year. And then as we were walking away, Mackenzie's like, yeah, you should watch K-pop Demon Hunters. So I did. I watched it once by myself, and immediately afterwards I turned around to Angus and went, stop what you're doing. We're watching this. And we sat down and we watched it.
It was really good.
And since then, I've deep dived heavily into the animation of it, how they made it, absolutely everything to do about it. But then it's also just blown up heavily everywhere.
Yeah, just so cool.
I don't get into the anime stuff myself a lot. So she was like, we all have to sit down and watch K-pop Demon Hunters for our family movie. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, yeah, you've picked this. So and it was us and my niece, and I had to give her credit. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. Yeah. I really enjoyed
anime
it.
Anime is actually very good and is normally targeted more at adults than it is at children.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Western civilizations have basically gone anime, kids' shows.
I'm definitely not one of those people sense. It's not usually my area. But there was a lot of care taken in the storyline and the depth of it and the texture. Like, there can be a lot of crap on Netflix.
Yeah.
And this was not one of them. This is actually worth the hype, I believe. If
Wednesday Murder Club was really, really good. That's it was really, really, really fun. I really like
that. It's a series of books, isn't it?
Yes. It's about old people who dig up old stories and try and solve them. And then they get an actual murder and they're like, oh, who done it? Well, we will work it out, sort of thing. And it is really, really good because it's about people finding their place, finding their friends, their group, and then just also going on crazy antics. And then we have Boy in the Harem, which was absolutely fantastic as well.
Heron.
Heron.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. Oh, I think I've heard of that.
It's a new Ghibli film. That is actually me done. And now we're on to Angus.
So, I've watched a couple of random things this year. I finally got up to date with my Marvel nonsense. So many mid-movies, but I watched The Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which was actually good. I enjoyed it. You didn't, Justin, but he's got no taste, so that's fine. He put A-Team as his favourite show of all. I also kind of enjoyed Thunderbolts, but yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Again, A-Team, favourite movie. But the new Superman came out this year. Watch that. That was good.
Yeah, the new Superman movie is really good.
New Superman movie.
Really good. It's quite different than anything previous.
Yeah. James Gunn does a really good job with that movie.
Much more like the comic Superman.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's got this slight whimsy to it.
Adrian watched it on a flight, and I think because it's definitely his thing more than it would be our thing.
It's really, really well done. Genuinely, it's got powerful... I'm going to go on a rant. But yeah, it's got really, really strong women in it. It's got very interesting ways that they shot things as well. The cinematography is next level. And that's the same with Suicide Squad as well. James Gunn directed both of those. And his eye for detail is absolutely insane. Just the creative juices that are in that little brain of his.
Yeah.
And things that'll be dropped early on in the movie will get picked up later on and brought up later.
The beginning of the movie still be relevant to later plot things.
I like that. Yes. I love a good callback.
So it's very cleverly
And the
done.
Best part is as well is Superman and Lois Lane. They're having their little relationship sort of thing. They're pretending to argue at work. And then one of the other reporters looks over but has this look with someone else going, they're totally dating, but we don't know about it.
Oh.
And then at the very end, it's revealed that it's like, yeah, we always knew. We always knew. What is your problem? And I just really like that it's people just kind of ignoring or just going, yeah.
It's also not an origin story. We've got so many Superman origin stories that it was kind of an unnecessary element of the story that we didn't really need. So they just kind of went, yep, you know the setup. You know Lois Lane and Superman. You know all that. I don't think
they've had a good Lois Lane for a while, though, too. Lois Lane is good?
Yeah, Lois Lane is good.
Lois Lane is supposed to be... He's Superman and he's Clark Kent, but it's like he's Superman out saving the world, but when he's Clark Kent, she wears the pants.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, she wears
pants. And a lot of that got lost in the last few versions. Yeah.
No, in this one, she is very much at the forefront of what's going on. She's a better idea of what's going on than Superman in most cases.
That's good.
And it also gives her a realistic relationship look at everything as well, so it's like it's a little bit tumultuous at times. It still gives you the slight will they won't they, because they're kind of going through rough patches and things, which absolutely makes sense, especially in the power dynamic that they're in.
Realism, very human moment.
Yeah, which rant is what I like more about DC than it is than Marvel, because Marvel goes the realism is from science. Science and DC is like, the realism is from the mental attrition that all these people have gone through.
Yes.
And just the moments between others. Rant over.
Yep.
And it's set in the DC universe.
Yeah.
The comic universe.
Yeah.
So there are superheroes everywhere. There's monsters everywhere. The human existence is completely different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, so it's lots of fun in that way.
Yeah. It's really done well as well. It's not like done deliberately gritty and dark and angsty like all the other DC things have been up till this point.
The gritty, dark and angsty is now a bit old and stale.
Yeah. It's light and you can feel the lightness.
So, any others?
I've only just started.
It's
on the first one.
Rant.
Yeah. Strange New Worlds, of course, Lower Decks. Mm-hmm. Andor, big one. That, definitely a cult classic Andor.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
Obviously, I didn't watch it, but I have heard several people say that it is the best Star Wars
if you've seen
show and
the,
movie.
If you've seen the original movies and, like, maybe the prequels, but probably not necessarily.
Spun off of Rogue One, isn't it?
Yes.
Andor.
Yeah. You don't even need to watch Rogue One beforehand. No. You can watch Andor, then Rogue One. Quite easily.
Rogue One is a spoiler for Andor, actually.
Yeah, technically. Oh. But Andor, you don't really need to have any universe knowledge or anything like that. It is just, you can hit the ground running with it, and it is a brilliant story.
And they tackle social political issues as well.
I've watched Fallout Season 1 in preparation for watching Season 2. I've played the Fallout games. Justin's just started playing the Fallout games because of the Fallout show. I presume. Well,
not really.
I'm contemplating watching season one again, ready for season two, because, it was good. Adrian watched it by himself, then we watched it together. Because feels like it happens.
He's got one of you up on you.
I was quite impressed. I think I said this last year, that inspired me to go and read up about all of the different vaults.
Oh my God.
That was all I was interested in. I don't care about her being out in the wild. Fair. I wanted to read more about these vaults, man. Really into it.
Someone started playing Fallout 3 and there's a vault you're sent to just to collect a violin for someone, because it's a vault that was filled with musicians. But the history of that vault is they were playing white noise in the background that was triggering mental delusions in everyone in the vault. There was also a radiation leak, and so they started mutating according to the delusions and the high-pitched frequency stuff, and they ended up becoming Myalurks. And that was kind of the origin of the Myalurk species, which is a creature in the Fallout universe.
Oh my God, they're incredibly difficult to...
Really annoying, because they're basically a crab, so they've got this hard shell over their entire body, and they're super resistant to everything except for this tiny little window where their face is, and so you're trying to get their face, and it's just... Anyway. Last two things I'm going to mention is Red Sonja. I watched the new Red Sonja movie.
Yes, I've seen that,
Solid 5 out of 10. No complaints. It was excellent. It was straight out of 80s. It had a little bit of like more modern animation, basically, for some of the monsters and stuff like that. But otherwise, it was an 80s schlock fantasy movie and was great. And I watched Good Manager, which was my first K-drama, which was 20 episodes, standalone series on Netflix. and I really enjoyed it. I really immediately wanted to show it to Baylor, but it's only subbed, and Baylor is dyslexic and can't do subtitles. So I was like,
especially when people.
So Mackenzie, what have you got?
She's got a big list this time.
I've got a big list, not like last time. Most of it is musicals because I've been watching the musicals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So the first one is Glee. It got recommended by... Do you want to say that?
By Baylor.
By Baylor.
I never got into Glee. I had friends who were into Glee. It was never my thing. Mm-hmm. But my daughter is into musicals at the moment, and I want her to have a well-rounded knowledge.
Yeah.
So.
And you've got to know the bottom of the barrel.
But it's a lot of different variety, including Glee.
It's about this Glee club where they do, like, these songs for the finals, which is, like... this musical competition, and there's just a whole lot of things that happens. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched a full series, but I really love it.
It's the only show more cursed than Babylon 5 when it comes
to... She doesn't know a lot of the stuff about the actors, but as we get into it, then I'll... Because I don't want to skew her interpretation of the...
I was just saying, in terms of, I think, like, cast deaths.
If you ever watch it, or if you have... Just taking the note that my favourite character is Kurt. Kurt is the best character, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Kurt is so cool. Next is LOL. You know what that stands for?
Yeah.
Laugh
out loud.
It stands for laugh out loud. And with the show, it's last one laughing because it's like you try not to laugh and you make others laugh.
Oh.
And so you have a warning. Yeah. Which is a yellow card, so you can laugh once, and that's a yellow card, you're okay.
Yeah.
If you laugh two times, you're out.
Jimmy Carr did a show for that. To him talk about it afterwards, and he was just like, I can't believe they let us make that. That was ridiculous.
There's about 20 different series from different countries around the world. We watch the Australian one, the Canadian one, English one, Irish one, and then they get a whole heap of local comedians, put them in a room together, different types of comedians, so it'll be like... stand-up ones, improv ones, acting
crazy ones.
Like crazy humour.
Have you ever heard of Sam Simmons?
Sam Simmons.
He's an Australian comedian.
Search it up. Oh. He is very crazy, and he is on the Australian one.
So the Australian one, it's him and Frank Woodley, head-to-head.
Oh, so good.
Baylor really loves Lena and Woodley. So Frank Woodley is the other guy that was,
I love Frank Woodley.
Also, in the Canadian one, have you ever heard of, what's his name, Tom Green or something? It's him and then...
Colin Mochrie.
Oh, are you kidding?
It's him and Colin Mochrie who's in... Whose line is it anyway?
I just want to say, it ends with all of them, it always ends with desperation. Yeah. It just gets weird at the last episode. Just gets... weird.
Because they're almost in pain from the lack of laughing, you know?
Angus and I have watched similar things on Dropout TV.
Some
people actually, like, evil masterminds and set it up, and they'll tell a story and then they'll use it later on to break someone.
Tom Green does this thing where he starts making grilled cheeses and he starts talking about delicious cheese sandwiches.
And he
knocks out about two or three people just by repeating delicious cheese sandwiches over and over again.
I recommend there's three that are really cool. There's the English one, is it?
English one.
Canadian and Australian, I would say.
And the Irish one's really good,
I would say watch the Australian, because Australian, you should watch that first and then watch the other two. You'll start to love the people in the Australian one because they're really cool.
Though it is hosted by Rebel Wilson, but she's not in it a lot. She's in the background. So.
Okay. Kenzie, do you want to move on?
Yes.
I'm on to another musical show, which is Gallivant.
Gallivant.
Okay, so the way I described it was a medieval musical comedy.
Yeah, basically.
And it gets really good in the songs... describe what's happening really well. Yeah. They don't just take a song that's already there. They make it into the show. It's so cool.
So I got heat stroke a couple of years ago, and Angus was like, here, let's watch this. This will make you feel better. And it did. It was great. It's literally the best show ever.
Yeah. And it's one of those shows that when I first sat down to watch it, I was with two friends at a mate's place, and they were just like, hey, I got recommended this. Do we want to give it a go? We were like, sure, let's watch an episode, see what we think. And within like the first couple of minutes, everyone was hooked. And the three of us were just like, nah, we're binge watching this. We're not doing anything else for the rest of the night. We're just watching this. It was really good.
So the guy wrote the music for it's well known for writing a lot of really great musicals like... Yeah, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Pocahontas, Little Shop of Horrors, Newsies, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, like the Disney one, Enchanted, Tangled, da-da-da-da-da.
Just one
or
two.
A lot of pedigree.
Because you're not here, I was looking at her phone as she was reading it, and I was like, oh my God, like, you can't expect it. It's just so random, but it's so cool.
It's a great show. A real... gem kind of out from the bleak void of American daytime TV.
Okay, and I have another one. This is an English musical.
Like I was saying, we're trying to get Kenzie into a range of musicals. Yep. So old ones, new ones, classics, a lot of variety. She likes the modern ones, and this is one that we found was on Broadway. Sorry, it was in London. It did really well in London.
Mm. And it's called Everyone's Talking About Jamie. You guys may not know it, but it's really cool. It's about Jamie, who wants to be a drag star. Was it?
Jamie is a 16-year-old gay boy in a small country town.
Not gay.
Jamie's definitely gay. And
my God, you can't make assumptions.
He actually says at the beginning of the movie that he's gay and wants to be a drag queen. But yeah, the music's great. It's kind of modern. It's based on a true story.
It's really cool. And the songs get a little addictive. Next is an older one, but I love it. Mm-hmm. Very recent, like I just watched it. The Sound of Music.
Yes.
So cool.
That was an arm twister because you're not keen on the old school ones, and I was like, it's good.
What do you mean?
She was in Mary Poppins.
I was in the musical.
Yeah, but did you watch
Julie
Andrews.
What about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Because we watched
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was my favourite musical as a kid.
That it didn't make it onto the list, though. It wasn't a favourite.
It's not my favourite, though.
What about Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Ooh, that's very much the same era as
Broomsticks. And earlier on was Jungle Book.
Oh, like the old...
Bare necessities.
We're trying to stick to ones that are actually stage musicals. Like movie adaptations.
So that I can audition with them and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, trying to build a repertoire.
Which I love, but she hasn't watched one of them. I'm really upset about that. Wicked and Wicked for Good.
I haven't seen Wicked for Good.
Yeah. It's so good.
But Wicked is great.
So it follows the story about the Wicked Witch of the West... story when she was young, not like
a baby.
What's
the Wicked Witch of the West from?
Wizard of Oz.
I haven't seen that.
And the Wicked for Good. So the storyline, so how you should watch it, is you should watch Wizard of Oz and then Wicked for Good, then Wizard of Oz. Because you notice things and then once you watch it again, you pick up things. It's really cool.
So there's not going to be a third Wicked movie.
It's quite normal for stage productions to have two-parters.
Yep.
So it's quite normal to basically, the way that you would watch Wicked, I believe, is that you would go and see Wicked, the first half of Wicked, with an interval in it one day, and then you would book to go and see the next one the next day.
I love Wicked and Wicked for Good, but I'd love to have a movie about that Dorothy girl.
Nice.
The next one is Hamilton, which is Lin-Manuel. How do you say his
name? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. He made that musical, and it's really cool. It's brilliant, and it's about Alexander Hamilton's life in song.
Yep.
But it's if you're not into that type of history stuff, I wouldn't recommend it.
Definitely a theme happening with her list this year.
I've got three more. Yep. One of them I absolutely love. It's called Gravity Falls.
Yes.
It's really cool. It's on Disney. Yep. And it's definitely a fantasy one. So if you're into the type of stuff that we like Star Trek and Doctor Who, then that type of things where it's like, it's a little bit off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not normal.
It's great, like, border Feywild. you'd quite actually probably quite like.
You got a bit of Gravity Falls stuff for Christmas, didn't you? Well, who's the guy that you like? The triangle dude.
Bill? He's called Bill Cipher.
She's got a Bill Cipher pop vinyl.
I like Bill Cipher and I like Mabel Pines.
Yes, Mabel's great.
Her vibes are like so cool.
Yes.
I want a line-up jumper.
Waddles are so cool. Waddles.
I have a badge for Waddles.
And then one of the big ones, so that one we've already talked about, haven't we?
You want to quickly touch on it? Elaborate it more.
Quickly elaborate on it and then we'll...
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, yes.
It's about these demon hunters that need to kill demons with their voice, their singing. Like,
do you think we didn't go through it enough when we...
Yeah, no, I just didn't say that, that's it.
Okay, and then last of all, she said, in time for the new season coming out, she really wanted to watch...
Stranger Things.
Yay! Yes.
And I was like, are you sure you want to do
this? That qualifies? It's a musical?
I was like, are you sure you want to do this? Do you think you can handle
season
it?
Season 4 is at least.
Yeah. Turn around. What you see?
The other day I turned around and said, remember that time when I got really obsessed with Kate Bush and I was playing it all the time? That was when we were watching season 4.
Yeah, we just finished watching season 4. For season 5.
I think, have we just finished season 4? Yes, let's just finish season 4 and we're ready to start season 5 now. So she's now watched all of them.
At the start of the season,
not long now,
Papa was like, villain, I do not like Papa. End of season 4, I like Papa.
We still didn't like him.
Papa, I kind of like Papa a little more now.
You've watched it all then?
Oh, she's except watched season end of five. Season 4. She's up to the new season.
She's like, don't do the little dinosaur
thing. So instead of crying, you're just going.
Literally, and she's like, "No, this is a sad bit," and I'm like,
"Don't mock it.
He started this, not me."
You're doing so like an in-person emoji for crying instead of crying.
Beautiful. Or another way I could have done it is send a crying emoji to Mum.
There was a thing. I don't know if it was my generation. If it was slightly younger. Saying lol instead of actually laughing at jokes. It was something that was a thing for like a small period of time. People would go, lol.
Yeah.
And it's just like, stop.
So you're done, aren't you?
Are you done?
Lisa,
I have a lot less because as she's getting older, we're introducing her to stuff. We're watching stuff together.
Same stuff,
Yeah. And so my stuff isn't as cool as it was previous years. I'm going to flick through really quickly because stuff we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. So obviously Lower Decks, Strange New Worlds. Mm-hmm. I also for the first time actually this year watched Star Trek original series.
Yeah,
it was Old Scientist. Yep. I didn't watch all of it. I think I got through about halfway through season 2. So, but I was really excited.
You're almost there then.
Yeah. And it was really good to watch. It gave me a deeper appreciation for both Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that. And there was so many in jokes that I didn't get that were referenced. Oh. You've not watched this last season, but that character that Rhys Darby plays, he's an original series character,
and he looks so good.
It's like, the so casting on
was
point.
Actually so on point.
They
so
tie it around to Voyager as well. I don't know if you're aware
with the reference to
and
because I watched the original series episode last through that lens, I was like, oh my god. That works.
In chronological order.
Like, they're actually, they're actually, you know. It's...
Oh my god, you did see it in chronological order.
From the perspective of Trelane.
That was really cool. We went back, hilariously went back and watched a show I was obsessed with in the 90s. X-Files. We watched a whole heap of it. She was going, what's that show? Because we put it on when we were like going to bed. She goes, what's that show you're watching in your other room that goes dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, oh my god, there's X-Files. And she's like, ah, is that what you've been watching? Well, because I was so obsessed with it when I was a teenager. But you know what? It does not hold up.
No, it really doesn't.
I was like, I am so underwhelmed.
We've covered that in Cult TV. It didn't hold up.
You should have just not watched it and listened to the podcast instead. We addressed all those points there.
We could have told you.
It was really good. It was really good to go back and watch it in a different lens and go, oh, yeah, what was the fuss about? Another show that I guess would be a cult TV show from back in the 90s that I didn't get to watch the first time round, Northern Exposure. Anyone remember that?
Yeah, I do, but I don't know.
New York doctor signed to be able to get his scholarship, to be able to go to medical school, signed an agreement with the state of Alaska that he has to do 3 years working as a doctor as part of his scholarship agreement, finishes medical school, and instead of going into a cushy, well-paid job, thinks he's going to go work at a hospital in Anchorage, and instead he gets sent to a small country town in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. Mm. And it's just really weird. It's one of those quirky town kind of shows, bit more comedy than drama, a bit weird. Also, we watched Dexter Original Sin, Dexter Resurrection. Mm. We watched Dexter in the Time. Oh, that last season or two were really bad. Mm-hmm. So we gave it a go. Yeah, they were pretty good. They weren't too bad. So kind of a little bit redeeming for us with the whole Dexter experience. We also went back and watched Star Wars movies from May the 4th. Adrian's idea was to watch episode one, movie one. So basically chronologically through the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was a great idea. Mm-hmm. I think we should have gone 4, 5, 6, 1. We should have done it
in
according to when it got made, when it got released. But we watched all 9 movies. It was the first time I'd watched the last 2 movies.
So when are you watching Clone Wars?
We did give Clone Wars a bit of try, didn't we? Yeah, give it a try. We give it a try.
It's hard to get into because initially it's very childish. Yeah. It is a really kiddie thing at the beginning. Yeah. It builds up. The way we started watching it, by the way, was we put it on and we were doing completely different things.
It was a bit of an effort for me, but it's not something I'm drawn to. And I've got to say, now I've done it, I can put a pin in it and never go back to the movies. But it was good to give this child an education. And then that encouraged us to go, right, now you've done Star Wars, we've done Lord of the Rings, we've done Star Wars, now we need to go Star Trek. And we gave Voyager a try with her and it didn't quite.
I still have not seen the last Star Wars movie.
Yeah, no, you're not missing too much, I've got to say. You're not missing a lot.
You're not missing a lot, no.
Yeah.
Did you watch Solo? Or Rogue One when you did your marathon?
No. We did 1 to 9. And by the way, Rogue One's supposed to be one of the best ones.
Yeah. If not the best, just outright
of the really movies.
Yeah.
I've heard Solo's a bit.
Yeah.
It's samey. But it was also, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't
bad. The Solo movie should have been Andor, in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He kind of does all of his amazing things in the one movie.
Yeah, it basically have been a series. When you meet Han Solo in episode 4, he's like, he's comes across as this experienced smuggler who's done all these crazy things. But in the movie, he does all the crazy things.
In two hours.
In the span of 2 hours or in universe.
So everything that he's done to be smug about was in one adventure.
Yes, in one adventure. And then he spent the rest of his time waiting on Tatooine for Luke and the stuff. And it's just like, no, don't do that.
Yes, Mackenzie.
How would you guys watch the Star Wars in order? Like 1, 2, 3, 4 or 4, 5, 6, 1?
4, 5, 6, 1.
It depends. Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, probably.
There was too many spoilers in the first three that she didn't get to enjoy.
And,
4, 5, 6.
And 7, 8, 9, no.
Although in saying that...
Don't watch it all.
What we would do is show movies 1 and 2, then the Clone Wars TV series, then the 3rd movie, when they're attached to the clones, when they're attached to all the Jedi characters, then the 3rd movie, and then 4, 5, 6. Oh, probably 4, 5, 6 at the same time. Oh, maybe not. You can't do 5, but you can do 4.
So it's hard educating the children. That's a difficult thing. I've only got one more to go, and it's a bit of an outlier for me because I'm not usually, like I said, I'm not really into superhero shows, superhero movies, but we did watch a show. We got most of the way through it, and it just went a little bit crazy. It was called Legion. And it's a spin-off of X-Men.
Yes.
So it's basically like this guy who's got these superpowers, but he's also got paranoid schizophrenia.
Yes. It's really good.
Yeah.
I didn't like season 2.
Season 2 was a slog, and then season 3 was not just like, we are just struggling to get through these episodes.
Yeah.
But season 1, there was so much potential.
I didn't get as far as season 3. You did the right thing.
I think we got about 4 episodes from the end of season 3 because it was just like, no. But season 1 was so good. But I think it's like that kind of Breaking Bad thing where you're thinking this guy's going to be the hero and this guy's going to save the day. And then as you get further along, you actually realise that, no, this guy's going to be the villain.
Yeah,
this guy. And the season three, it's like he's the villain, but he's full of all of this righteousness. Like, I'm here to save the day. I'm going to save the world. And they're like, no, you're screwing it up. All these time paradoxes and all of these issues that are all happening. And it's like you're literally putting a hole in space and time. No, I'm not. I'm saving the world, everyone. And it's like, no, you've gone crazy. Yeah, so it's a real psychedelic mind F, but
yeah,
I definitely recommend season one at least.
And it's got the character out of
Jermaine Clement.
Yes, yeah. Jermaine Clement's in it. The main guy is—he's from Beauty and the Beast. I think he picks a bit of weird stuff at the moment. And one of the things I noticed about it's very anachronistic. They'll have music from like the 60s, then they'll have stuff from the 90s, and then they'll have like old timey stuff, like all of the clothes and the tablecloths and things that stuff from the 60s and 70s, and then they'll run into like the government and they'll
Dan Stevens.
Yeah, and then they'll run into like the government, and the government will have tablets, modern tablets. I can't work out what era it's set in because the whole point of it is it's supposed to mess with your mind. So it's a spin-off of X-Men, but they never mention anything to do with the X-Men, but they allude to the fact that his father has the abilities he has, but left him, like left the family to go and save the world and go on these things. And his father's name is Xavier. He's Dr. X from the X-Men.
Professor X.
Professor X, yeah. They allude to it enough, but never quite come out and say.
No, they don't quite say it. But yeah.
But it's from that comic universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in the comic universe, it's a lot more explicit, but they don't want it to be closely affiliated. The mind.
It's because the abilities X-Men he has comes from a lighter universe and
more superhero.
Yeah, more superhero, more silly.
Yeah.
And less grounded. And Legion is very dark.
It's a fascinating show. But
they
did some really clever things with it and had a lot of potential. So I recommend season one.
Yeah,
but yeah, once it starts getting a bit too weird for you, maybe take a step away because it's not going to get any better. I think that was my advice with Mr. Mercedes last year, wasn't it? It's like, season one's really great. Yeah, I remember you said, I watched season one. I didn't watch season two. And I said, just don't. Just.
No.
Jeanette, what have you watched? Doctor Who, obviously.
Which Doctor Who?
The most recent series of Nishuti Gatwa, which was...
Yes.
Mostly very good.
Yes, up until the final two episodes.
Yeah.
And then it all just fell apart.
Yeah.
And you were just left going,
has anyone watched the new spin-off?
For me, it was quite a mixed bag.
No, not yet.
I'm just not even inspired to watch it.
I'm not into trickster characters so much. So the whole series was largely trickster characters.
We also got from the library the Fury of the Deep, which is an animation of a second Doctor series, Troughton series, one of the ones.
Yeah.
There's not a single episode remaining. And for me, that was really significant because I've always thought that the TV series I saw when I was very young, probably about 4 years old, that absolutely traumatised me was probably Doctor Who. And I've been searching for years to identify which story it was, and I'm pretty sure it's Fury from the Deep. So I was really excited.
That was quite good too.
We watched Star Wars Visions, which I thought was absolutely delightful. So it's animated stories done by different studios all around the world, and they all bring their own little individual.
And they're not part of like the canon or anything like that, so they don't influence anything else. They're just like little custom stories that are basically fan fiction that's
like
animated.
Like the Star Wars Christmas special.
A little bit. However, all the games keep referencing Life Day. This is the thing. Life Day is being kept as canon from that. And Justin played the MMO Star Wars The Old Republic, in which they have Hug a Wookiee as part of the Life Day celebrations, which is straight from a holiday special.
I finally started watching Slow Horses and really enjoyed that.
It's supposed to be good.
Yes.
I've only got like the Saddle Club or something?
No, is it Gary Oldman?
Yes, it's Gary Oldman. They're like MI5, MI6, but they're the failures. They can't really just sack them. So they put them into this side area where they're not supposed to do anything, and their role...
Put out to pasture.
Yes, so... And his job as the head of this department is to make sure they don't do anything at all. But now this young, keen guy that's been demoted into this thing, and he's really keen to... And it's great actors.
And the bad guys are the rest of MI5.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, in the first series anyway. Yeah. And there's another series I wanted to mention, mainly because of the director. Not cult TV at all, but Narrow Road to the Deep North. So I watched Narrow Road to the Deep North. I'd read the book. was really annoyed because part of it is set in South Australia. Clearly wasn't filmed in South Australia. And I thought, well, that's a bit odd because I'm pretty sure the director is South Australian, Justin Kurzel. So I went and looked him up. Guess where Justin Kurzel comes from?
Here, doesn't he? Isn't he Gawler. The guy who did Snowtown?
Yeah. He's from Gawler. But I didn't realise he was Gawler.
Yeah.
He was born and grew up in Gawler.
Yeah. Is that the guy who did Snowtown?
Yes, he did Snowtown. Yeah, Australia's most famous film director, and nobody in Gawler knows that he comes from Gawler. That's just for Gawler's sake, you know.
We need to put up a memorial or something.
Yeah. It's good. He's running all these smear campaigns on surrounding townships, like Snowtown.
And Salisbury. Over to you, Cass.
Yeah, I haven't been watching anything exciting, which is annoying. So I was listening to all you guys go on about everything, and I'm like, okay, there's my list of stuff to do.
Yeah, this list gets longer, but...
Yeah, the list gets longer, and, it's getting to a point where I basically have to spend the next 5 years of watching everything to keep catch up. Mm-hmm. But the only new thing that I've got a handle on is actually a podcast, because somebody over the past 12 years has edited every single Doctor Who episode in chronological order. So they made a series, it's called A Stitch in Time. It's taken them 12 years to do it. The first clip is one clip of Castro Valva that was like 10 seconds long, basically set at the Big Bang. And after that's just... So basically I spend one podcast episode on each clip.
That was a really bad scene. And that really, Castro Valva was a freaking atrocious Doctor Who episode.
But you told me about this podcast.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I listened to a couple of episodes. Yeah, it's really interesting. But then a lot of the stuff they were talking about was stuff that I wasn't aware of. So
it's the thing. Especially the early episodes of the podcast, it was the person who knows all about Doctor Who and somebody who's got no idea. So they're trying to basically explain what they think is going on based upon like a 5 second clip. So like actually the first 20 minutes of the video is the intro to all the series and opening credits. And then it's like a clip the last 5 seconds, another clip the last 5 seconds, another clip the last 5 seconds, and another clip the last 5 seconds. But they do a podcast episode on each clip.
Oh god.
So you end up with one episode being a clip of 2 seconds of some random serial in like the Third Doctor's run that just happens to be set a million years in the past.
Yes.
And the next one's going to be like an entire First Doctor serial. And it takes the same amount of time in the podcast itself. So sometimes they just have to try and spend time talking about the most minutiae stuff or going off on tangents to try and fill the episode time.
Yeah.
And the other times it's like they're talking about the entire serial.
I'm now just thinking of all the scenes of... There was a Doctor Who episode with the Third Doctor, which was Dinosaurs in London. And there are a couple of clips of the dinosaurs wandering around outside of London in the past and then being teleported away.
Yeah.
And just there'd be clips of just like dinosaurs just teleporting away and the people would be like, what the hell's going on, man? What am I watching?
Yeah.
This goes through it in chronological.
Yeah. So it's like, especially because there's a few other series which they don't say when it's set. And so the person who does it, her name is Becca, she does a random number. Which meant that there was one thing that they did for lockdown during COVID, and it was horrible, but because they happened to have the random number journal put them very early on, they had to watch 3 of those episodes parts in a row.
Yeah.
And they were really just almost wanting to end the entire project because this episode was so horrible, they wanted to just get out of it. It's an interesting podcast because it varies from this person who's never watched Doctor Who's trying to work out what the series is like based upon 2 second clips that don't have any context whatsoever.
Yeah.
And part of it is they're being on fans of the show who are exasperated at the fact that they're doing this really stupid thing of watching every clip in the order.
Yes, and absolutely butchering.
Yeah.
I listen
to some podcasts, and it's really difficult to do a podcast about a cult TV show, but ones that are about specific shows and do them well without them becoming monotonous and without them being able to, you know, and the ones that do really well, I think, they've got that something special.
Yeah.
I listen to 3 different Star Trek Next Gen podcasts.
There's
one that in particular that I listen to. They were the reason I ended up starting to listen to Deep Space Nine because they did all of Next Gen and then started on Deep Space Nine. And I'm like, I better get watching Deep Space Nine so I can keep up with this podcast. Yeah. And it's, but then there's other ones I listen to and they've got bigger names attached to them. Mm. But just
Deep Space Nine's one of those interesting ones where we give Babylon 5 a bit of flack because you kind of got to get through the first series to get to a point where like the episodes are majority watchable. But Deep Space Nine is worse because you need to get through 2 seasons to get to that same point.
But you need to get through them to be able to enjoy
The stolen storyline. Yeah. No, you're right.
The stolen storyline.
That's right. I'm still here.
But like the complexity of the relations and the personalities are deep, and you can't just pick it up midway through.
So all of that was taken from B5.
Something we discovered was in 89, JMS, who wrote and directed and made Babylon 5, proposed his series to Paramount.
Scandalous.
And then they went ahead and made Deep Space Nine based on that. So as the show was coming out, JMS was like, yeah, it's clearly the same premise they've clearly used, because he gave the plot of the show 20 episodes of basically scripts and everything that he gave, a whole bunch of stuff. And character descriptions for all the main characters, set everything up. And watching it, okay, knowing that, you can just go, yep, that's that character, that's that character, that's that character, that's that faction, that's that faction. Mm-hmm. And the parallels are just so easy to draw between.
And for the record, I sat down and watched this, because I was like, Lisa keeps on talking about it, I'll definitely give it a go.
We watched the first episode.
Of Deep Space Nine.
Didn't even watch the entire episode. One, what the heck? Two, the audacity of that man talking to Picard that way. They forced so much trauma that would have already been dealt with. Like, they wouldn't put him back into action having to deal with someone that he hated so vehemently as well, and put him as like a captain or whatever ranking he is, and then go, yeah, here you go, you're in charge of this station now. And him going, I hate the most decorated officer in the fleet, who was mind controlled, not in his own mind when he killed my wife.
The way they kind of try to do that is because I feel like at that stage, Picard was so well loved as a character, and then to have someone from the opposing point of view, he's also someone in authority in the spin, in this spin-off, going, nah, hate him.
And
everyone likes the guy.
It could have worked. It could have worked if the guy could act.
Yeah, he's not a great actor.
Which he can't.
He's absolute
and
garbage.
Watching that scene, it's so awful.
There's
it's
a
so
lot
cringy.
Of really good actors who prop him up.
Picard.
Yes.
Yeah. Picard in that scene, though, he goes, you killed my wife. And Picard goes,
Picard has like four different emotions on his face without saying a word as he
running circles.
As he walks back to his chair, sits down. You watch him be hurt. You watch him go through like shame, regret. You watch him kind of go, no, I need to do this, and kind of settle back down. It's like, okay.
Can we go back to Kaz?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about podcasts, man, and
No, I'm basically mostly done, to be honest.
He's zoned out completely.
It was like, I don't have any shows or movies that I'd like to bring to people's attention. I just want to talk about this podcast.
Yeah, it's because it's the only thing new I've gone into this year.
Have you been watching Old Who to try and keep up with it all? Or?
Not really. They made the edits and put it online, and it's split into 13 parts of 24 hours each. So you can kind of watch the clips in order.
That's a watchable format.
When you go, okay, 5 seconds from this, 5 seconds from that, 5 seconds from this, and having it in the weird context stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, it's mostly just listening to these weirdos. And also interesting because most all the one involved in the podcast is queer in some way. Yeah, so the main three people are trans, non-binary, and lesbian. Actually, bisexual. Yeah, whatever. Basically, most of the people involved end up being queer. So sometimes they talk about how one of the main members, whose name I've forgotten, which is annoying, joked about the fact that they knew they were lesbian because of the stuff that... Was it one of the companions from the Sixth Doctor's run?
The Sixth Doctor... Yeah, it's likely Perry.
Yeah, basically joking about that Perry's the reason why she knows she's bisexual. It's also interesting from that perspective as well, because they're also doing a whole bunch of stuff other than this podcast. So at the moment, it's only being released like once a month. So it's kind of slowing down a bit. So I haven't heard listen to it in ages, but it's still a lot of fun.
Mm.
It's called Stitches in Time for those of you who are looking for it. And you can watch the entire series in chronological order. Stitches in Time.
Oh, Stitches in Time, yeah. I'll put a link.
And you can watch the entire run.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah, if you really...
I'll just touch on a few things we watched, but one sentence on each. So, Dune Prophecy, so dry.
Wasn't a TV show.
And it was just so dry.
We watched it all.
But it sort of began to redeem itself, but not
enough. Yeah, it did a bit.
Star Wars Skeleton Crew for kids, fun, nothing offensive.
Oh, yeah, forgettable.
Yeah, forgettable.
Yeah.
Flo, amazing
movie.
Animated movie. No dialogue at all. There's no talking.
Could it? One,
I think it won an Oscar.
Yeah, it's about a cat.
And a capybara.
Oh,
there you go. That will get you on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Capybara. Frankenstein. Gruesome. Visually amazing. And the storyline improves over time, but it's nothing to do with the original.
It's definitely Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, not Mary Shelley's.
What was that ice train movie that we watched?
We watched a bit of Snowpiercer this year.
Series. Mm-hmm. It was really good because it had a train in it.
Oh my god.
The series has Jennifer Connelly in it.
I like Train.
I don't know.
It's the first film
from Labyrinth.
Really good.
She could act in Snowpiercer. It was amazing.
She's come a long way.
To be fair, it was her first role. And it was also, the role was very much meant to be over the top and silly and cheesy because it was that type of production. So.
Yes.
Mm. But it was really good because people were trying to break into the nicer part of the train and, oh, it was crazy.
Yeah, apparently the movie's a bit crazy, like it's supposed to be good, but a bit full on.
The TV show's great.
Yeah.
The movie stars Captain America.
Chris Evans. I think the movie's done by the same people who did Parasite.
Yeah.
Like the Korean movie. Yeah.
I viewed the movie as being like this sort of parade of bizarre things. It was just like, let's try and make this bizarre. Let's make another bizarre thing.
Are we done?
Yes.
I think we're done.
Oh my God, we're exhausted.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm ready for a nap.
Happy New Year.
And then they watch the movie.